Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left. Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's time for the postgame show with Shope and the Bulldog.
Hi there. The Bills over the Jets, 30-10. Does it ever get easier than that? I mean, so much has been said by you and me over the years about just what the Bills have become. Even that, though, this was just never interesting, this game, in terms of whether it was going to be competitive. The Jets get the annual Tyrod Taylor goes in for the starter touchdown in garbage time to make it, I mean, at least a little bit more respectable on the scoreboard. But 30-10, Bills 2-0, Miami here Thursday night. And Miami just lost home to New England. They were driving down 6, but Tua takes a sack, and that's that in that one. Thanks for being with me today. Bulldog is not here. He'll be with me tomorrow. But it's just us today, 716-803-0550. It's my first post-game show of the year. If it's like last year or the last few years, it's Josh Allen right away. And then we'll get to Sean McDermott as well. Allen had that injury in this game. We haven't really ever seen that before, where he goes down, takes a hit, gets up, and runs to the sideline. You start to think about, like, what is this? I mean, he's not got a knee injury if he's just running off the field. I think I might have guessed right away. Maybe it got hit in the nose or something. Takes the helmet off as he gets to the sideline. And, of course, in typical for this game, Mitchell Trubisky goes in and throws a dime to Joshua Palmer for 32 yards. Like, you know, no sweat. We'll get to Allen and Sean McDermott. McDermott's post-game press conference will be presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. There was a moment. So here are the Jets off of an exciting week one. They lost, but promising, you know, in terms of Justin Fields at quarterback and I think things overall, winnable game. What are the expectations this year? You know, they're obviously pretty modest. And here in this game, though, I was just listening to it, watching on TV and listening to the crowd, and I just, like, never heard the crowd. It was just like, by the second quarter, it was just dead. And, I mean, we had 17 years without the playoffs, and now the Bills are dominating that division. Even thinking about the Patriots' domination over the Bills in the drought years, rarely, maybe a couple of times, did they come here and just, like, it's over by the first quarter, and you know it, and you just sit there all day. Like, you know, some of those games were close, and the Bills have had close games with the Jets too, but man, today was just, there was nothing going on there. Of course, it would never be that, like, nobody's at the game except when during COVID, but it sounded like that was almost the case today. Now to Josh Allen.
So it's good.
What exactly happened? It was hard to tell.
Yeah, I pulled it when I probably should have handed it off. I tried to throw it, and I saw him push, decided to tuck it. I don't know what hit me. It was a knee. It was a hand. It was somebody. Helmet just kind of came down right on the bridge of my nose and just started leaking. So it's tough because you should go down there to give Mitch a chance to kind of catch his bearings to be able to come out there. Obviously, gushing blood. I just wanted to try to get off the field and stop it. And for him to come off the bench like that and no warm-up, no nothing, to be ready, I think that's a true embodiment of the character and the man that he is, coming in there and making a play on third down for us. That was a huge drive. It was a huge play. So, shout-out Mitch.
Have you had one of those before, a gusher like that? You've had a lot of injuries.
No. Maybe the last time was, like, high school basketball hitting the nose or something. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's still kind of going on me, but we'll be all right.
How impressive was it for the defense after last week's showing against Baltimore to, you know, almost pitch a shutout here today?
Yeah, I mean, I think they took it personal. You know, they understand what type of defense they can be. They went out there and they played extremely well. You know, and that's the standard that we're looking for from them. And they understand that, but very proud of how those guys attacked the entire week of practice, stepped up to the occasion. Now in a short week, we got to do the same thing again on Thursday.
That just seemed like you definitely wanted to run the ball for you. You were leaning into it early. You wanted to run the ball for you. You were leaning into that pretty early with James. Just kind of tell us how you thought that all went.
Yeah, just trusting our guys up front. I thought James was doing a great job of, you know, getting onto the second level. You know, he had a heck of a game. And yeah, when something's not broke, don't fix it. And, you know, we kept going back to it. And, yeah, it worked out pretty good for us.
Win dramatically the way you did last week and then to follow that up with a road division win, what do you think you've learned about this team in these 2 weeks?
Well, that we're resilient, you know. Went out there and learned from some mistakes that we had last week. Now, again, we're going to have to watch this film. There were some mistakes today that we need to clean up. But just proud of how our guys attacked the week, you know. Could have easily led into, you know, everything that everybody was saying about us. And I'm sure it's all good right now. And easily could have, you know, put ourselves in that situation. But, you know, we don't ever want to do that. We want to continue to play the way that we play, practice the way that we practice, and ultimately go out there and execute each and every play.
Did you set a tone for the day with that opening drive?
Yeah, I mean, I think our defense and our special teams set the tone for the day. I thought guys were flying around making some plays and, again, just finding ways to continue to move the ball and found a way to score it today. And, you know, they're still early on. You know, we get the sack fumble. Got to come away with six there and not three. So, again, a lot of things to clean up.
Was there a carryover from last week? You scored the last three drives in Baltimore. You scored in the first four drives in this game. Or is it just – each game is individual?
Each game is individual. Everything has got its own little flow. Ultimately, just trying to find out, you know, what the defense is doing, finding out quickly what they're trying to do and adapt accordingly. But again, I thought we did a good job of that today and, you know, proud of Joe for, you know, just going back to the run and letting James get back there and tilt the rock.
Josh, you mentioned, you know, people might be saying you guys are so great and all that, but your teammates always talk about needing a chip. Like still each and every week playing with a chip. Why is that so important to the identity of this team, despite how talented this group is?
Yeah, I mean, I think the mindset that we have is, you know, never get too high, never get too low. Try to find the middle and understand that, you know, it's never as bad as you think, but it's never as good as you think. There's always things to improve on, and each and every week, that's all we're trying to do throughout practice. And now, you know, short week, we got to watch this one. You know, typically on Thursday night games, we don't really even watch this film. We let our coaches do that, and we got to turn our focus to our next opponent, and that's you know, Miami Thursday night.
Even though you were gushing blood, as you said, you were back in there pretty quickly. How much has your durability and availability been at the core of who you are as a player in this league?
I mean, I take a lot of pride in it. You know, being able to withstand some of those things and never want to make a living out of it. But yeah, I mean, I take it with a lot of pride.
Thanks,
guys.
Josh Allen, I think I heard from Jim Nance that this would just be the second game of his career that he started and the Bills won, where he did not either throw for a touchdown or run for one. Didn't need it. The Bills breeze past the Jets 30-10. We'll have Sean McDermott coming up. Let me get you the Skyworks stats of the game here quickly. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Allen, 14 for 25, 148 is all that was. 6 for 59 on the ground. He had a 40-yarder early that was pretty cool. James Cook, 21 carries, 132 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I mean, Cook, I'm eager to find out his, one of those advanced metrics, yards rushing before contact. Because in the meat of this game, he was 3-4 yards or more without being touched. I tweeted it at one point, and on the next play, he had like at least 10 yards before he was even touched. The Bills just dominated up front on offense today. 9 for 24 for Ray Davis as well. Joshua Palmer leads the Bills in receiving yards, 2 for 47. The one big pass from Trubisky accounted for most of that. Dalton Kincaid led the way with four catches, his for 37 yards. No passing touchdowns, eight different receivers, not a lot to report. Unlike a lot of other games today, which have been pinball machine games around the league, there's been a lot to talk about, and we'll get to it. Justin Fields, 3 for 11, 27 yards, not 5 for 49 rushing, and he had a big run there before halftime. But, I mean, what happened after that? Errant passes two or three in a row, and the Jets end up punting there before half. I thought Breece Hall would be a problem for the Bills today after the Derrick Henry show last week, 10 for 29. And they left Hall and Garrett Wilson. They left their guys in after Fields left, despite being way down. Garrett Wilson, the only anything from the Jets receiving-wise, 4 for 50. All right, we'll take a break here, and Sean McDermott coming up. Look forward to hearing from you. I mean, this was such a breeze of a game for the Bills. There's nothing really controversial here, but maybe you've got something to say about it that hasn't been said yet. That's not, you know, necessary. I'd love to know just how you feel. 716-803-0550. This is Mike Schoep. Thanks for being with me today. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We will get back to that important message, but right now, here's Sean McDermott.
That's a team that's obviously had a lot of momentum, we thought, coming in here, and they played really hard last week and, you know, almost pulled out that win and probably should have won last week. So we felt like we were going to be in for it this weekend, and it was important for us to get off to a good start. I thought we did that in a complimentary way, scoring on offense, getting some three and outs early, a takeaway early, setting our offense up in a good field position. The drive after half, in terms of the time of possession in the third quarter was certainly in our favor. The line of scrimmage was important for us, and I credit the O-line, D-line, and really all 11 on both sides of the ball. Special teams made some big plays in the kickoff coverage, Sam Franklin, obviously James Cook on the offensive side, big day. And I love Mitch, how Mitch came in there. Kind of like a little shift change in hockey or something, and Josh runs off the field. Mitch goes out. I think it was a third down play, second into a third down play perhaps, and throws a seed in there, throws a dime, and that's hard to do with no warm up. So credit Mitch for being ready. Again, the defense did some really good things. It was good to see them really disciplined, playing hard, playing relentless style of defense, taking the ball away, and being able to close the game out. Those are hard to do as well, and good to get Elijah a few touches here today and get him in the end zone. That was good to see. Happy for him. So with that, I'll open it up to you and your questions.
Coach, with the corrections you wanted to make on the defensive side, things looked pretty buttoned up defensively, like right from the jump. How would you kind of assess? Because you talked about assignments, communication going into this week. Do you feel like it looked buttoned up, at least on live view here before watching the film?
Yeah. Better understanding of the plan. Coaches led by Bobby did a great job putting a good plan together. Players executed. They spent time like they did last week. Don't get me wrong. But they were really intentional this week about the details and making sure they understood where they were supposed to be and when they were supposed to be there. So that's got to be an every week thing. But I liked what I saw.
Do you feel they took it personal, the way that things unfolded Sunday night, and really wanted to, as much of a shoring things up execution-wise, assert themselves from a mental side as well?
Well, they're competitors, so they take a lot of pride in their work, and it's important for them that they play well and help the team win, and they did last week as well in certain aspects of the game. This week, they got off to a faster start, which I thought was important, and that was the performance we expect to see right there.
Mitchell's pass. Describe the sideline reaction to Mitchell's pass in the game where you guys had, a two possession lead or more almost the entire game. Would you even call that a turning point?
When Mitch came in?
Yeah.
I never want to see Josh go out, one, but again, to have Mitch, veteran quarterback, come in, didn't blink, and the huddle didn't blink. Their belief in him is extremely high. He came in and delivered. He executed, right, the way he's supposed to. And that takes him being ready to go, being prepared through the week. All these players, they're one snap away. We had some guys help us out on defense today that stepped up and knew their role, embraced the role, and got themselves ready to go. So the preparation piece, I guess is what I'm saying, is the key, right? And so, anyway, just very grateful. Glory to God for another win.
Coach, you mentioned that the line of scrimmage was important in this one, and Joe leaned heavy into 12 and 13 personnel, maybe even more so once you got up on the scoreboard to kind of grind it out and shorten the game. But how effective did you feel that 12 and 13 personnel was for you guys today in the ability to get consistent yards on the ground?
Yeah, big. You know, you're watching even college games yesterday. We're on the, you know, in the hotel, and you're seeing some of those college games that are going back and forth. And it just seems, again, every week, who can win the line of scrimmage? That's where the battle begins. And I thought Josh took a few hits a little bit there early, maybe. And Joe did a great job switching some things up. The adjustments that Chrome and Joe made along with the offensive staff, the communication was really important for us right there.
Sean, is this the Joey Bosa you hoped and expected when you made a move for him this offseason?
You know, Joey's been great since he's gotten here. He loves to play football. He prepares. He's a true pro. You know, he's been a really good addition. I think, like anything, this is just game two for all of us, right? Not moving away from Joey's question for a second here, but just game two. We've got a short week this week, a home game coming up, and a chance for us to continue to take another step, which is important for us.
Hey, Sean, what was the reason behind Matt Milano not being in there to start the second half?
Yeah, he was dinged up a little bit here, so we got to see where that goes. I don't really know much at all at this point, so I'll get you more information when I can.
Trey came out a little bit earlier than some of the other starters. Was that just because of the score, or what was the reason for that?
You know, we had talked about making sure he was, you know, that we were watching him because he's been out for 2 or 3 weeks here, give or take, and just being smart with him, and that's the way the game unfolded as well. So, all right, thank you guys, appreciate it.
Sean McDermott and the Bills coast past the Jets 30-10 to improve to 2-0. Next up, Miami here Thursday night. We were right in the middle of our first network break here, so we will return to that, and then I'll look for your calls at 803-0550. This is Mike Shope, and this is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Fields back to pass, and he's sacked! Joey Bosa forces another fumble! The Jets hop on the football. But Joey Bosa has made his presence felt today. Back-to-back plays, getting hits on Fields, and his second forced fumble of the game.
Chris Brown there. Joey Bosa making an impact. The play of the game. The New Era signature play of the game, in fact. Brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL. Bosa, a story so far this year. Big performance from him. And the Bills, I mean, just like what an easy day. Easy for me to say, right? 30-10, the final at the Jets. We've talked here on WGR, our flagship station, all the time since, you know, April or May when the schedule comes out about how the Bills' schedule is so favorable with marquee opponents pretty much all being home games as things fell. And once you get past Baltimore in week one, look at it. And I thought, and maybe this would be what everybody thought pretty much, that this game looked like perhaps the most challenging of the next several. New England with a poor showing in week one. That's still week five. You've got Miami, New Orleans, Patriots, all home games after this. And then it's off to Atlanta in week six. Like, wow. The win over Baltimore, just it cannot be overstated how important that is in the standings. And so here are the Jets who look kind of interesting after last week. We talk about betting a lot during the week, and my friend Joe Ostrowski from BetMGM was telling me how even this morning how there's more money bet on the Jets than any other team today. I don't know. I mean, this is another one of those times we're so lucky where the Bills just looked totally superior to a division opponent. Let's see what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Looking around the league here as we go through the day two. New England gets the win in Miami. Cincinnati won without Joe Burrow. Talk about that as we go. Let's get to Russ here. Hi, Russ.
Yeah, hi. Mike. I really enjoyed watching the game, as everybody probably did, from Buffalo. But especially the runs by Allen and Cook. I mean, those were both amazing and not necessarily easy. They had to make themselves open to get to those spaces. At the same time, as much as I loved it, and you mentioned just a second ago how easy the game was, you know, it was so easy, and the Jets shot themselves in the foot so many times and made it so easy. Like, I'm not sure that we proved a whole heck of a lot in the game.
Yeah. Thanks, Russ. Allen was asked in his press conference, I think it was, or maybe McDermott, it was pretty recent, I should be able to tell you, but, you know, what did this tell you? It was Allen. What did this tell you about the Bills? These, you know, coming back off Sunday night and winning. And I thought his answer might be nothing. I think we kind of already know what they are, right? I mean, every year is different. Every game is different. But really, like, the Bills have been way better than the Jets for a long time. And that did not change today, to put it only one way. Tony Romo, toward the end of the game, I mean, that's a tough job, these blowouts for the guys in the booth. But at one point, you know, speaking of the Jets, Romo said, they're gaining, meaning like sort of they're getting better. And I don't even know if that's true. I mean, I would have said that yesterday probably, but their job and the Patriots' job and the Dolphins' job is to catch up to what the Bills are. And the Jets got first crack at it for this season at home, off a pretty good performance last week, and they were just as far away as ever. You know, you hear the same kind of compliments, and I'm somebody who pays them these compliments. Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. Oh, they got the line right. Maybe Justin Fields. Like, these certain elements of their team where you think, all right, well, here's an interesting opportunity for them to make that statement. And what happens? Just not even close. 803-0550, the number. Thanks, Russ. Let's go to Rob next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Bulldog, what's going on? Always a pleasure. I'm a number one fan of WGR 550. I listen to you guys every day, even the morning show. And I just
even the morning show?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I start my day
amazing.
It's like it's a part-time job for me with you guys, you know?
Great.
Love you guys. You're my eyes. You know, of course, you know I'm blind. And by the way, Bulldog.
Bulldog's not here.
Oh, Bulldog's not there. Okay,
no.
Well, I was going to let him know that the New Haven pizza's holding it down. Anyways, what I wanted to say was that Zach and Derek were on the Extra Point show earlier this week, and Derek came up with a great question. He was like, blank, and how many points would you be satisfied with our defense holding the Jets? So what I came up with, blank, was we contain Wilson, we can't contain Fields, and we contain Hall. And then I said, if we hold them to under 20 points, I will be 100 completely satisfied with that game. But what I was most impressed with was the corner blitzes that we threw at them. That was beautiful. That
yeah.
was great game planning.
Thanks, Rob. I mean, this was a game. Part of the Bills' domination in this game was how the Jets on offense never looked like anything they were doing was surprising to the Bills at all. Like, it was just, especially as it got into like the third quarter, but there was just no, Justin Fields should give you, I mean, the Bills have only faced him once, and they did just come off of Lamar Jackson. So, you know, not to oversimplify, but you're talking about the same sort of style of player to a point. There should be the RPO stuff. There should be a little bit of, you know, what would the offense want to be able to take advantage of? Hesitation by the defense, uncertainty, and it just like never showed in this game. There was just no threat. Hall early. I thought Hall would be a problem for the Bills, and he had a 5 or 6 yard run right away, and then just like almost nothing else all day. Like the Bills were ready for everything the Jets gave them, and the Jets don't have really a number two pass target, and you know they're not fully formed defensively, and really those are also ways where the Bills were able just to show how much better of a team they are than the Jets. Trey White coming back. I mean, you had a lot of different players on, you know, offense too, but defensively have moments today. Let's go to Jason next. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you? Enjoy
Fine,
the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. I just wanted to say, you know, everyone was calling this an upset alert. All the national guys, Rex Ryan, tried to say that we were on upset alert. One of the other guys wouldn't give us credit for the Baltimore game. Oh, they were saying, oh, that was kind of a fluky win by the Bills. The bottom line is that, you know, the Bills were ready. It was a real win over Baltimore. Nobody wanted to give us credit for the Baltimore win. That pissed off the defense. And the defense was ready. We dominated the Jets today, and the Jets usually, you know, give us a tough game. We got an amazing team. This team is for real. There's no question about it.
Well, they've been for real for 5 years. And, you know, they've had lots of easy wins against teams in their division and against the league overall. And today was another one. It's all going to be about January. And whether they get credit means nothing. Whether somebody picks against them means nothing. Anybody, which is reasonable, by the way, who questions whether the Bills can actually do it is not going to be blind to games like this having happened numerous times a season for the last 5 or 6 years. It's happened before. It's all going to be about, in those critical moments in the playoffs, will they be, you know, will they not mess it up, right? And, you know, today doesn't say anything about that, good or bad. It certainly wouldn't say anything bad, given how, you know, smooth everything went today. Let's go to Joe next. Hi, Joe.
Fellas, good afternoon. Wonderful day. Wonderful, beautiful weather. Bit of victory. Life is good. I just came from Highmark Stadium. They did a watch party for all season ticket holders. We had free food, watched the game on the scoreboard. People were on the field. Just a great, great time. Great win. Great time to be a Bills fan as usual. Comment, just simply touching on Joey Bosa. You know, there were so many things written on Bean wasting $12 million. He's out of his, you know, he's injured, this, that, and the other. You know what? He's a player. He's a competitor. He's a beast when he's in that mindset, when he's on that field. He showed it today. Looking for big things from Joey Bosa, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. When they signed him, I thought maybe he shouldn't play until the playoffs because he's had such a, you know, a long history of injuries. And I still kind of think that. But it's fun right now. Here is Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
I am very excited about Trey White. He was great today, and he actually tackled today. He's not really a tackler, but he had three or four good tackles. He had great coverage. And I'll tell you, he's going to be I predicted at the beginning of the year, if he stays healthy, he's going to be all pro, and I'm going to stay at that.
Well, that's extremely optimistic. He had a fine game. I think the best part of it is seeing him knowing that he's healthy because we didn't know that. And they were thin in the secondary. So he might not have been 100%, but good enough to go. And, you know, he was excellent in this game. I think we'd all agree on that. All pro is, you know, would be lock him in for comeback player of the year if he's all pro. He's been great. He comes back to Buffalo off a couple of difficult years, the big injuries, Rams, that didn't go well, and then Baltimore last year. So for me, I looked at that signing when they brought him back as insurance. They do these things before the draft sometimes. You know, he's a popular player and a known name, so it wasn't like someone obscure. But in case the draft doesn't fall the way we'd like, we've got somebody here we're familiar with and he with us and, you know, a good insurance policy, and the Bills lose Maxwell Hairston. Like, Trey White's not going to be all pro if Maxwell Hairston comes off IR in week 5. Like, he's going to be on the field. Not all the time necessarily, but we'll see what happens. It looks like already with what today was, and I wouldn't have said this as like so sure of it before this game, because I thought the Ravens game was scary for what the Bills looked like on defense. And maybe the Jets can give you some version of that. And they just could not. It looks like by this game, it could be another one of these seasons where I said this last Monday a few times, we really don't get to find out that much about who they really are until we're like into, you know, week 8 or 9. The CBS guys ran through the schedule too. Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Patriots, Falcons, Panthers with a bye week in there. And then it's Kansas City in week 9. Like, are these games going to be games? We had this, remember the Bills had Houston a few years ago in the rain, maybe 21 or 22. And they won the game 40-0, I believe. And like, well, they were losing some close games, but when they're playing inferior teams, they're blowing them out. And that's what you want to see. It's just, what does that tell us about the playoffs when we get there? And, you know, maybe not a lot, but is what it is. A fun and easy day for the Bills today outside of New York. Thanks for your calls. I look forward to hearing from you next at 803-0550, 30-10. Bills over the Jets today. This is Mike Shope. This is also Buffalo Bills football. Can update a couple of those scores. Daniel Jones, a one-yard touchdown run. Indianapolis now out in front against Denver, 13-7, early second quarter. And Saquon Barkley has opened the scoring in the Super Bowl rematch. I think it was about a 16-yard run at Arrowhead. 13-yard Saquon Barkley touchdown run, extra point good. Late first quarter, Eagles 7, Chiefs nothing. The Chiefs missed a long field goal on their last possession. It might have even been their first possession of the game. But big test for Kansas City, losing the opener against the Chargers, and now you get Philadelphia in week 2. The Chiefs and Ravens play in week 4, so that'll be something. Baltimore big over Cleveland today. Cincinnati, as Derek mentioned, wins without Burrow, who left with an injury. Comeback win, though, for them under Jake Browning over Jacksonville. So that's interesting. Cincinnati has had some adversity already, but they do have 2 wins to start the season. Pittsburgh, I thought, was an interesting one this week. Home to Seattle off their win against the Jets last week, and Seattle took them down. 31-17 was the score there. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Post-game coverage continues. The Bills beat the Jets easily, 30-10. Absolute snoozer of a game. Like, there was just no resistance at all today. Jets get the ball first, go nowhere. Bills get it and just methodically down the field for their touchdown. There were a couple of missed throws. Actually, both guys. I mean, Allen missed one to Shavers there. And he had the injury that came, it might have been their second possession, I'm not sure, but early in this game, still like just almost nothing was in their way today. So now it's Thursday night against Miami. I mentioned earlier how like I almost never even heard the crowd in this game. Bulldog and I had a conversation the other day about the Bills' history with the Jets. And I think this can maybe depend on your age, but when I was first getting into the Bills in the early 80s, the Jets were a real rivalry. Like there was a playoff game, there was a Monday night game. Like it's always been a division rival, but the Bills don't have like those eras of dominance that New England and Miami have had against them. The Bills are in the middle of one over the Dolphins right now. And even the Jets, does it feel like this is right? 9 wins in 11 games. Over New York. But just like the two teams have rarely been good at the same time. But they were both good when I was just getting into it. And I still like when the Bills go to play the Jets, I can hear that crowd in my mind. Like it's sort of a, you know, it's there. When the Bills go to Miami and play, it's Bills fans in the crowd. Like I don't even notice the Miami fans. I don't know how many of them are there, but there's a sound with the Jets. And, you know, sit down to watch this game and maybe like for the first couple of minutes, it was noticeable, but really by the time each team had the ball twice at the most, it was like the Bills threw an incomplete pass. Maybe it was, or the Jets did something. And it's when I noticed it, like there is just like no sound here. There was no reaction to it. Just what a easy game. If you're a Jets fan and you go to this game, man, how depressing would that be? New season, right? New quarterback, just completely depressing. Last week, we ended up talking about Bills fans leaving the Baltimore game early, and Allen was riled up about that after the game, and I defended it. I defended fans for doing that. So did Bulldog. He's not here today, but do what you got to do. I mean, it gets super late, and they're down. I mean, I said if the Bills were up 15 points against the Ravens, I think I would have left just the same. You can leave early, and this one, I think I'm in my car by halftime. I mean, the Jets, second half, I think it was, but remember that punt where they were down big already in the game and punted fourth and three or something like that? Just they don't want to be here either. Just such a bad sign. So just they had nothing for the Bills today at all. Here's Greg next. Hi, Greg.
Hey, just wanted to know your thoughts on Taron Johnson being still out and if he's going to play more next week and if they're going to do more nickel. The tipped passes, and I also want to know a little bit about the intentional grounding penalties, if they're focusing a lot more on this year because of, you know, Josh and Mahomes just dumping it off because they can't find a receiver to not take the sack. I'm going to hang up and listen to your take. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know if Taron Johnson will play next week, but I hope for the Bills' sake that he does. There's nothing about intentional grounding in my mind that's subjective anymore. They've done a lot of this in sports over the years. They take as much off the official's plate as they can. And it used to be, you know, the referee, the officials would have to make a judgment on intentional grounding. But now that's gotten completely all twisted. Intentional grounding happens all the time in football and it's legal. Spikes, you know, just throwaways. Allen, every game, will just shovel the ball into the ground. This time when he did it, the second of the two today, there was just James Cook wasn't there to have it land at his feet on a play where there was literally no chance of it being caught. So the officials discuss it, and they realize he's not out of the pocket. The ball doesn't get to the line of scrimmage, and there's no one there. Check, check, check. It meets the three criteria, and then the flag comes out. Notice that both times today, the flag was not thrown right away because this is how it works now. They're going to make sure. They're going to discuss it. Was there a receiver in the area? No. Did it get to the line of scrimmage? No. Plus, you've got the space ref who's watching all this, too, that can confirm all of that for them. The first one, I think, was probably called by the space ref. Maybe they both were. Space ref is my, you know, silly moniker for whoever in, you know, some faraway land is actually lording over control of these games by being able to tell the officials whether they should change something. And I think both of those intentional grounding calls were that. So there's no agenda. It's simply, does it meet the criteria? And both of those did. I don't think there's any question about it. So I guess you'd say they got those right. I would say that. I just don't like space ref because it's not transparent. And we've already been around on this year. I won't beat the drum so loud today because it wasn't relevant in this game. But we had, was it maybe the Bills game last week? There was a game where they before the season started, it was distributed everything that the space ref has jurisdiction over, what they're allowed to change. And spotting the ball was not on that list. And so there was something last week where, like, well, the space ref might have done this, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But Thursday night, Washington, Green Bay, there was one of those. And clearly, they spotted the ball with communication from outside. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit around the bend when it comes to that stuff. I just feel like the whole point of it isn't accuracy even. It's game flow. They didn't use that Hawkeye measuring device now that they have in place instead of using the chains. It's just going to be, we need to measure it. We'll do that. But in the preseason, they did that, and it was slow. And in the Green Bay game the other night, there was a really close one. This was also Philadelphia and their Thursday night opener. Let's just go. Let's just go. That's a little path I took there from your question about intentional grounding. I don't think there's any agenda at all. Just met the criteria for the penalty. 716-803-0550 is the number if you want to jump on and talk about today's game. 30-10, the Bills breeze past the Jets. We'll have more after this. I'm Mike Shope. This is Buffalo Bills Football.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pressure coming, flees the pocket, going to take off and run. He's got the first down and more. 40, 50. Allen puts the ball in his left hand, stiff arms a man, and is out of bounds into Jets territory at the New York Jets 39-yard line. It's a 50-yard run.
Josh Allen's maybe personal highlight from this game, that play, eye on the quarterback. Brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. The stats are pretty quiet. I'm going to repeat this. I believe I heard Jim Nantz say that this is only the second game in his career where the Bills win. He started, and he didn't either run for or throw for a touchdown. And I didn't hear if it was said what the other game was, but I think I found it. And it was also a game at the Jets in the COVID year, 2020, October 25th. Allen in that game, the Bills didn't score a touchdown at all. 307 passing yards and 61 rushing, but the Bills win the game that day 18-10 on six Tyler Bass field goals. And that qualifies, right? No touchdowns scored, period. And they win the game on an Allen start. And in that game, much like today, the total yards today, 403 to 154. That day, 422 to 191. So a day where they didn't really dominate on the scoreboard, but they won there. And today they did both. They dominated, you know, in every way today, 30-10. So Tyler Bass, by the way, on IR, Matt Prater gets picked up and is one of the heroes last week. Makes everything again today. I guess they got that right. You know, you have to do it that way sometimes, you know, base it on the results. This is what we do with draft picks, free agency, the performance, the decisions made by the general manager are always sort of up for debate. And we're always scrutinizing them. And with this team, for lack of really anything else that makes sense, it's about weapons usually. I mean, it's also first couple of round draft picks haven't all been hits. Man, Elam today for Dallas. Malik Nabers was having a day against him, or at least, you know, at times against him. But so, I mean, there are hits and misses in the draft. Anyway, that's what we're always doing. Do they have enough talent at wide receiver? Do they spend too many of their draft picks on defensive line? You know, all this. These are the things we talk about. Well, I mean, it's everything, though. And the Bills figured out they got to the end of the preseason and the offseason, and they needed a kicker. And the guy they picked was, I mean, he was out of football. We've heard the story now a few times, how he was volunteering at a school or whatever. And at age 41, he immediately became the oldest player ever to play for the Bills. Last week, he's the one they go with, and he hasn't missed. So you got to give, just like we do in all these situations, draft picks and everything else, you give the GM credit for getting that right. So far, so good on Matt Prater, even from distance. 716-803-0550 for your calls. 30-10 Bills over the Jets today to go to 2-0. Let's go to Matthew next. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
We're headed back from the stadium. We went out to New Jersey to watch the game, and I thought it was interesting earlier you guys were talking about how quiet the fans were.
Yeah.
I remember at one point I'm looking up at the Jumbotron, and they have the decibel meter, and it only went to about 85 decibels. And I turned to my wife, Liz, and said, can you believe that they have to, first of all, they put a thing up, you're not allowed to sit down and you're not allowed to be quiet on this drive. And on fourth and two or fourth and three, whenever it was when we went for it, the decibel meter went to 85 decibels. You never have to tell Bills fans to do it. It was an ultra-quiet stadium. Josh Allen probably had no issues at all calling the plays and his guys hearing him for sure. Thank you for taking my call. I'll listen to what you have to say about that.
All right.
Go Bills.
You're welcome. Thanks, Matthew. I'm pretty sure those graphics on the scoreboard don't really actually record the sound. And, you know, they'll put that kind of thing up on ours too. But it was just, it was striking to me early in this game. Like, where is everybody? Like, it was just super quiet. And the Jets weren't even really down yet. Might have been 10-0 when I noticed it. And it never changed. I mean, it was just super quiet today. I mean, people were there. I wonder, too. So they showed pockets of Bills fans in the crowd today. And the Jets started to get booed. It's been a long time since I've been to a game on the road as a fan. I was thinking to myself, I wonder if I would boo as well. Right? I mean, you're there, like Matthew was, for the visitors. And the home crowd is restless. And they're starting to boo the Jets. And I think I'd want to get in on that and make it louder. But, you know, I'm also, I'm booing the Jets now? Like, maybe I'm trying a little bit too hard. Yeah, it was really interesting to me today how out of it the Jets crowd seemed to be, like right away. This is life as a team in the AFC East that isn't the Bills, where, all right, here's our chance. We did this with the Patriots for many years. Here's our chance. We have a different quarterback. We have a different coach. People are talking about culture, playing at home. I just watched Buffalo get run on badly by the Ravens on Sunday night. There was some optimism for the Jets today, and they just could not at all live up to it. And we know that feeling, right? I mean, every sports fan knows that feeling over the years if you've been around long enough. Like, okay, well, this is really sad. I mean, not every Jets fan would have been on the Jets today, right? I mean, it's been a losing team. Maybe that's putting it mildly, but that would have been so depressing. You're just sitting there the whole day. It's hot. That's at least it's a nice day. You're sitting there the whole day, and you're just like, this is terrible. Nothing is going right. Whatever thought I had to this being an actually good season kind of just blew up. Because you're nothing, just like the Bills in the drought years, you're nothing if one team in the division is just much the best, like they would say in the daily racing form, much the best. And here's a new season, time to try that on again. Nope, much the best, the Bills in this game today. And, you know, of course, we'll see if it keeps up. They've got two more division games in the next 3 weeks, Miami here on Thursday night, and then after they host New Orleans, it's the Patriots with those fancy new uniforms on the Sunday night in week 5. So the Bills are home for the next 3 games. Today might as well have been at home, a home game. Short trip and no atmosphere to fight through in the slightest, it seems. And Matthew was here to call in and corroborate that. No, I don't think they're really measuring the sound, though. Maybe I'm wrong in this case. I think they just sort of put that up and you see the levels and everything like that. I'm not sure that's real. Here's Glenn next. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
First of all, let me just say I love, you know, I've been listening to you guys for 20 years. I love your sarcasm and dry wit. So just,
all right,
just put that out there. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
But the lack of aggression in the offense and the conservative play calling, even like when they get up, they just decide, oh, we're going to sit on 30 points and just let it sit there. Does that frustrate the heck out of you or what?
It didn't today. It did you, though.
Oh, my God. Yes. I mean, run. I mean, and then, you know, it just, I don't get it. I just don't, there's 17 minutes left or something, and Josh was still out there, and they're running it. I just don't get it. It just drives me crazy when you have an opportunity to put up, like, you know, probably 60 points on these guys. Why not? I mean, I don't know. But it's just very frustrating. I thought it was a great game. Of course, I'm going to take a win. Love it. Absolutely. At the end of the day, you know, they're killing it. But, man, you know, just you have the offense. You have these guys. And I really think Keon Coleman's going to break up this year. And they do nothing. They run it.
Well, I can't criticize them for that today. That's what you do when you're way ahead. I mean, the game was over. By halftime, pretty much, this game was over. And, you know, your quarterback's a little bit banged up. You had a long night last Sunday. You got a short week. There's every reason I think I can think of to do today the way they did it. They would all tell you that the same thing. And I think, at least publicly, they would say that. maybe somebody in the back is like, I wish we could have run up 50 points like you said. But this is what you do when you get the lead. And, you could get me there to your take if the Jets were the least bit threatening offensively, where it's the kind of game where you just had a wild comeback and you had, proof that the team you were playing could, maybe run you down. And then we would sit here and all say this, which you're saying, Glenn, which is keep attacking. But the Jets just did not give off that scent at all. And like I said earlier, too, not just physically, like up front, both sides in this game, the Bills were physically superior up front. I thought, you say it maybe not often enough, but what they have on the offensive line, and in particular Osiris Torrance and Spencer Brown, those guys are just beasts. And they're talking, Romo's talking about how the Jets are a little bit small up front. I mean, this was James Cook getting 4 yards per carry before he's even getting touched. I wonder what that comes to on average today. Yards before contact. I mean, it was just like so easy for them to run the ball. Allen even himself didn't really need to do it. He just busted off that one play. But not only were the Bills like physically superior today, they never seemed surprised by anything when they were on defense. And that's, I think, how a team, well, any underdog, but especially like a team with a quarterback the style of Justin Fields and a good running back in Hall, this is kind of what you would need to be able to do. And every time, I mean, there might have been a bootleg or just some sort of play action or motion, and the Bills were just always right there. Corner blitzes, safety blitzes toward the end. Trey White got his hit in. Bishop, I mean, they just kind of were toying with the Jets, I thought, in this game. And I think that's both superior players and just preparation and just being all over it in terms of schemes and play calling and stuff. It was just, I mean, all one-way traffic in this game today. Anybody else frustrated? I mean, Glenn's over here. He's mad that they didn't keep trying to run up points against the Jets. Maybe you are too. I thought they did it exactly the right way in this game. But I do share, a lot of us do, the opinion that there are times when I think the Bills get a little bit too cautious when they're playing with a lead. Still, today, no complaints. 716-803-0550, getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City driving. I'm in here alone today. Bulldog is off and not having as much time as normal to sort of peek up at this game. But every time I do, Kareem Hunt, Kelce, Mahomes on the run, it's coming very hard for the Chiefs here, but they are driving to the 13. You know, it's how it probably should look. They're down 7-3 late in the first half already in that game. Barkley has the touchdown for Philadelphia. Mahomes running, it's what I keep, there he is again. Every time I look up, it's this, and this time he scored. So if there isn't a flag, Kansas City will have gone ahead on that play. That would put him at like 5 carries for 60 yards so far in this game. Probably not what they had in mind, but it's working well enough. If the touchdown's good, 9-7 with the extra point in favor of the Chiefs. Denver is up 14-13 at Indianapolis, coming up on 3.5 minutes to go in the half, and they are at the Colts 2. So far so good for Bo Nix and the Broncos, who won last week but did not really look sharp. Here, good start for them in Indianapolis. 1-point lead, goal to go. And it's Arizona 13, Carolina 3 late in the first half, within the last 2 minutes. I'm Mike Shope, glad to have you along. Again, lines are open for you at 716-803-0550. The Bills cruise past the Jets today, 30-10. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Bills 30, Jets 10. A caller earlier mentioned something like that he would have been happy anything under 20 points allowed today. Unless there was significant line movement this morning, and I don't know if there being any, the Bills were 6.5-point favorites, and the total, last I looked, was like on Friday, 46.5. So your implied score would be 26.5 to 20. That basically, this is how I'm saying that the Jets, the number for the Jets today was 20. And it's 10. It was barely even 10. They had to have that field goal there to get it to 20-3, right? They kicked a 50-some-yard field goal to 51-yard field goal, 4 minutes, 21 seconds left in the half. You know, that would have been a time where I might want to get out of there if I were a Jets fan, when they're kicking a 51-yard field goal down 20-0 to Josh Allen. You know what? Tracy, are you ready to go? Like, we're not interested in winning this game. We had lots of Bills games like that before Allen showed up, where you're trying to keep it, coach, who cares about this except for like the coach, trying to keep it respectable or semi. Let's have that 51-yard field goal to make it 20-3. And of course, I mean, Romo loved it. You got to get points here. Take the points. 51 yards. Take them. Here, don't even kick it. Here's 3 points. Good for you. Congrats. What an easy game. 803-0550 for your calls. Here is John next. Hi, John.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
Good.
I just want to touch on, I was really surprised by the game James Cook had. Not that he couldn't do it, but just that the impact that he had, especially with the limited touches and the yards per attempt and the 2 touchdowns there. I was one of the people, I think, that was a little skeptical of when they were going to pay him as much as they were, but I'm really glad they did actually now. Mm-hmm. I do have a question, though. Do you think that this is going to be a sustainable performance throughout the season? Not that he's always going to be having games like this, but just being such an impact, do you think teams are really going to try to game plan for him here as the season goes on here? So I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks. Okay. No, I mean, I think we already know how this goes. I mean, the Bills, because of Allen, you can't key on the running back, and that makes life great for James Cook, who is good. I mean, he's a good player, and he's able to take advantage of that in games like this. Today, he went 21 for 132 and 2 and caught 1 pass for 3 yards. I think that, and this has happened other times, I think the lead story here is the offensive line against that defense. Because, I mean, didn't you see Cook so many times in this game, yards downfield before he's even touched? The second level had to stop James Cook in this game, because up front, it is, I think I would say, it is interesting that Davis did not have the same success as Cook did in this way. I mean, Cook, part of what you like about him is vision, and he's got great feet. There were a couple of runs, one I'm thinking of, where he just sort of changed directions, you know, maybe just a couple of yards upfield, and it might have been his touchdown, right? That was the play like that, where he just had to sort of, you know, weave his way out of the, you know, congestion, and then he was gone. So he gives you that. He gives you plays where you've got a good play and he can make it great. And that's what happened on his touchdown today. But I can't see teams going into games with the Bills this year much differently than they always have. And you could say to me, well, how's that gone for these teams? I mean, what do the Dolphins do? Here's Allen in a game where he threw for like 130 or something. 148 was better than I thought. 148. He probably will double that on Thursday night. The Dolphins, maybe not, but the Dolphins bring out a lot of his, you know, his very best games. I don't think you can afford to do it. It's what makes Baltimore so tough, because you can't really just make it about Derrick Henry. You will lose. He didn't have a game today. You'd think by the final score, Baltimore 41, Cleveland 17, that it might have been a Derrick Henry game because it was such a blowout. 11 carries for 23. Not 123. 11 for 23 was Derrick Henry today. It was Lamar Jackson, 4 touchdown passes, 1 late in the fourth quarter, too, when they were, you know, fairly late in the fourth quarter when they were way up. It wasn't like they blew out the Browns from the beginning here. You know, while I'm in that division, real quick before the next call, Joe Burrow. So Burrow's in a walking boot after this game. He left early for Cincinnati. They won anyway. Jake Browning ends up throwing 32 passes. Burrow only 7 for 13 before he left. Browning knew to feed Ja'Marr Chase. 14 for 165 and 1 for Ja'Marr Chase in the Bengals' win, comeback win over Jacksonville. So there's Cincinnati at 2-0. They might have lost Burrow here. We'll see. No idea if it's just like out for this game or out for the long term. They are at Minnesota next week and then at Denver. Those are the next two Bengal games. You know, trying to take stock of the AFC. Kansas City is up, but they've got the Eagles here. That'll be close. Denver is going for 2-0. Cincinnati is at 2-0. Bills, of course, 2-0. And Indianapolis is, you know, in that Denver game, one of those teams will have started 2-0 as the Broncos and Colts are playing each other. Let's go to Greg next. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I'd like to listen to the show, and I definitely agree with you in regard to the game plan today. And unless you got some Josh Allen touchdowns, passing yardage, touchdown passes on the gaming sites like I did, you probably shouldn't be upset. We've got a lot of football to play, and they didn't have to dip too deep into the bag of tricks. And you know, they got some plays from some people like Elijah Moore that you might not have expected. And,
right.
You know, as a Bills fan, you really have to appreciate that.
Right. You know, I'm glad you mentioned him because I don't think I have yet, Elijah Moore. And, you know, they did get a couple. They got a touchdown run from Elijah Moore today. And that was good to see. Former Jet. Curtis Samuel inactive again. So Moore is, we'll see what the snap count looks like when that gets out. I don't have that in front of me. But he is playing a role for these guys. And you're seeing it. You think of McKenzie maybe when you see how the Bills are using Elijah Moore. I mean, that's before Joe Brady took over. I know. So what's the value of the comparison? But you can kind of see that role being played here. He wasn't asked. And I have no idea what the answer to this would be. But I wonder what Sean McDermott thought of the backflips at the end. I saw two backflips from Elijah Moore as the Bills were kneeling out the clock. I wonder if he'd go for that. Yeah, let your guys be guys. Let them have their fun. Or are we showing them up? What was that? I don't mind it. But I wonder if a coach or this coach might. Good day for him, Moore. Thanks, Greg. Here is John next. Hi, John.
Hey, Mike. This is a Super Bowl year, no doubt about it. But I got to tell you, I was a little disappointed. I always look forward to the Jets and the Bills and Deion Dawkins getting the brawls. And I didn't see that today. So the Jets are pretty quiet, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Didn't really offer much resistance at all.
Anyway, in the last number of games they played against the Jets, Deion really had his ire up after the game. But today, they were like little lambs. It was great.
Thanks, John. I don't know what Dawkins had to say about any of that today. I haven't heard from him yet, but maybe we'll get something here. Yeah, there have been scraps involving him in this rivalry of late, as the caller points out. Not today. The Jets had no fight in them today. I wonder where it goes with Fields. You know, I'm a fantasy player, and I drafted more of Justin Fields than any other quarterback this year. You can do that because he's not as expensive as Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. It's like a mid-round pick. And we talked on WGR with Evan Silva of Establish the Run on Friday about Fields, and he also has drafted a lot of him. And Evan explained what he likes about Fields, and then I added to the conversation, not only that, I mean, the rushing upside and, I mean, some real talent. Just, you know, everybody criticizes him for not being able to process that fast, just doesn't get the ball out fast enough. But there's a lot he can do. And so we were talking, and I said, plus, in these kind of things, for a guy with this much upside, he looks like he's almost at no risk of being benched. The Jets gave him okay money, but this is an experiment. Let's see what it is with Fields out there. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, let's see what it is. And week one blew people's minds. Like, This wasn't supposed to happen, but he might have ran for two, might have run for two, and, you know, he hit Wilson for a touchdown. There was a lot there, and that's what sort of was into the discourse for this game is, all right, well, maybe they have something in Fields, but it wasn't in evidence at all today, you know? He's somebody I like rooting for, but it wasn't in evidence at all today. He had the one – game was already pretty much over before halftime. He had the one big run and immediately missed – Romo was good on this play. Immediately missed Isaiah Davis at the right sideline out of the backfield. And not only did he have, you know, 10 yards at the point of the catch, but maybe 10 to 20 more because the sideline was wide open for Davis and Fields is behind him there. His first pass was high and off the mark. And then the next play after the Davis play was another errant throw. Like that was a chance where they could have, you know, maybe gotten a little bit into the game. Maybe, you know, I'm not a momentum guy, but I'm sure that's the word you would have heard if they were able to get into the locker room with points. And they end up punting there. Just like, get the check at that point. Thanks for your calls. I'm here at 716-803-0550. We'll talk some more. Then we'll have Joey Bosa and Cole Bishop coming on as we continue post-game coverage. 30-10, the Bills over the Jets. Pretty easy. The Jets' only touchdown coming late. Tyrod Taylor in the game, a fourth down touchdown pass to Jeremy Ruckert. I mentioned earlier, speaking of Romo, how, you know, this is kind of like a throwaway line that announcers are known for because they're rarely super critical of one team. You know, like they can do it on a given day, but the narrative stuff on the Jets, kind of like I was just talking about, was pretty hopeful before this game. You know, are they on the Bills level? We'll see. Turns out they were absolutely not, but that it's going the right way. I think people respect Aaron Glenn, and, you know, opinions are mixed on Fields, but overall, it feels like people think it's trending up. And late in this game, when it was already a blowout, in fact, I wrote it with after 4:40, there was 4:40 left in the game, the Jets were driving, and there's really like nothing about the game to talk about anymore. They're talking more about Jim Nantz's career today than they were talking about, you know, this game play to play. And they showed Aaron Glenn. There might have been a timeout. The Bills called a late timeout on defense, which is weird, but, you know, had some reason to do it. 30-3 is the score. And they showed Aaron Glenn, and Romo's quote was about the Jets, they're gaining, you know, meaning like as an organization. And I don't know if they are, right? Like this was the kind of game when you're a hopeful team, when you're not already proven as a championship-level team like the Bills are. This is the kind of game that matters. This is one of those games where you find out what you really are. I mean, it's not like playing even the Steelers last week, maybe. You know, we sort of find out how that goes in retrospect. But you know who the Bills are. Here's the Jets at home with a chance to like make that kind of statement. And they just so didn't. Maybe they're gaining because, would you say like everything for the Jets is an improvement over Aaron Rodgers and Jeff Ulbrich and whatever they were last year? It feels like you would want to say that. But this was not a moment, me, when he said that, it was not a moment where I thought like the Jets were really deserving of a compliment. Like, just, are they gaining? How many games do they win? They're 0-2, and last week they were pretty good. This week they were not on the same level as the Bills at all. New England, Miami, the other AFC East teams played today, and New England won it by 6. This probably was a pretty fun game to watch. I didn't see it. But you had back-to-back kickoff return touchdowns in this game. Miami and then New England, Antonio Gibson for New England. And the Patriots went up 6 on a field goal, setting up Tua and the Dolphins for the last drive. And the Bills game had just ended. I might have been getting ready to write, you know, to go on just as we started today. And the last two Dolphins plays were the third down pass, where like Tua runs out of bounds, like 3rd and 10 or something. And he's got time. He leaks out of the pocket, just never throws the ball and runs out of bounds for maybe a 1 yard loss, you know, meaningless. So now it's 4th and 10 or 4th and 11. Miami's down 6, minute left. This is it. And he gets sacked. And isn't that just the worst? When there's nothing else left and your quarterback still can't get the ball out? Really, both plays for this. Miami had a miserable week one against Indianapolis. And today didn't help much. 0-2 now, the Dolphins. Patriots to 1-1. Here is Don next. Hi, Don.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm glad the Bills won today. But you touched on something just a couple of calls ago about wondering if McDermott was happy with the backflips.
Yes.
Well, I think that the backflips and the shoulder rolls that Cook makes are possibly detrimental to the team. You know, I mean, they're good athletes, and I understand they know how to do these jumps and all.
Yeah.
But what if James Cook lands on his shoulder and it throws it out of balance or something?
Yeah, right. He'd better not. That's really all.
That's it.
Okay.
I don't mind them celebrating. I think you should celebrate, but nothing with the backflips or the shoulder rolls.
Interesting. All right. Thanks, Don. I wasn't thinking about it from an injury risk perspective, but that's fair. I remember watching Lamar Jackson a couple of years ago on a touchdown run, and he dived, you know, needlessly just for show. He dived into the end zone and landed on his, like a twisting dive, and he landed on his shoulder. And then they went to the sideline reporter a few minutes later, and like, his shoulder was bothering him. He didn't miss games or anything like that, but yeah, that's the kind of thing I guess I'd want. Don't take any unnecessary risks. Sure. Bills 30, Jets 10. Next up for the Bills, Thursday night at home against Miami. We'll see if they can keep it rolling. We'll keep this show rolling next as we get to the locker room. Joey Bosa and Cole Bishop still to come. I'm Mike Shope. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. The Bills over the Jets, 30-10. I'm Mike Shope. Let's get to the locker room. Player sound brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Here's Joey Bosa.
Joey, what was the message after last week, what you guys gave up on the ground versus this week in the turnaround?
No, it was a great week to prepare for a similar type of player in Fields. Obviously, Lamar is real dangerous on his feet, and that's kind of the league we're playing in now with dual-threat quarterbacks. So we tried to learn our lesson and do the best we can to stop his feet and get after him in the pass. And we were able to get a few stops early, which gave us a chance to kind of rush the passer. And obviously, the offense did a great job. We got a few turnovers, and it was kind of played out exactly how we were hoping.
After what happened last week, kind of a lick your wounds and move on type of game, because that was a rough game for you guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, there were some great things that we did and some things we did quite poorly. But we just have to learn, win or lose. Obviously, it makes it a little easier when you win, especially a game like that. But you just move on. It's you don't have time to live in the past in this league. The games come quick, especially with this Thursday coming up. So you just got to flush it, learn what you can, and move on.
I don't know if I've ever seen a 10-year vet as fired up as you were after the forced fumble on the sidelines with your teammates. What was that like for you?
Oh, it's just a backhanded compliment calling me old. But, no, it was exciting. It's just it's fun. I'm just trying to have as much fun as I can playing football. I mean, we beat it to death, but the last few years haven't went my way with injuries, but I'm just trying to enjoy every second I can out there feeling good and playing with the guys.
This is a team that the offense kind of leads the way often, right, with the quarterback they have. Was it particularly on the defense this week to set the tone right away?
Yeah, I think every week we want to play complimentary football, and with Josh Allen, all you have to do is make a few stops and get the ball in his hand, and more than likely you're gonna end up winning games. So I mean, we didn't get, like, it wasn't doom and gloom. Oh, my God, we let up 40 points. Like I said, you come out with a win, you flush it, you learn what you can, and you move on. We're one of the best offense in the NFL, and to be able to win the game, you know, we made stops when we needed to, learned what we can, what we could from our mistakes, and moved on. And I thought it was a three phases type of game today with the special team guys making some really nice tackles early in the game and giving us a good field position.
Joey Bosa and the Bills defense, a big day. More from the locker room now with Cole Bishop.
Take me through the sack.
Yeah, I had a boundary pressure called, so I was blitzing, so came through free and was able to get him down. I was excited about it.
So after last week, what the Ravens were able to do on the ground, what was the messaging this week? And then to translate that into the execution.
Yeah, I mean, obviously last week wasn't up to our standard. Put a lot of work in throughout the week. I mean, no matter what happens in the game, we're going to go right back to our process. So today went well, but we're right back to it tomorrow. Yeah, it was definitely good to set that new standard.
It felt like, in my eyes, you guys were a little more quick to recognize out of the huddle communication. Mm-hmm. They tried to quick snap you a couple times like the Ravens did, but you guys were ready for that.
Yeah.
Can you kind of take us into being prepared for that?
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously a point of emphasis from last week. You know, there's times when there's certain indicators that can help you know when, you know, whatever come out of the skies and things like that. And just being able to be prepared for that quick count because we know that's on our film now.
How important was it to get that three and out really to start the game?
It's huge. I mean, it set the tone for the whole game. And then I think we either scored or something, yeah, and then got another.
First play was the recovery of the fumble.
Yeah. Yep, and then we got a takeaway, so that was huge.
You got to learn how to flush. Say last week didn't go well. Now this one, because you got to come back in a few days. What's that like? What is that like, especially for a young player like you?
I kind of just mentioned to him, whether we won a day or what happened with the Ravens, we're right back to our process tomorrow. So just being able to go get our bodies right. This is going to be my first Thursday game, really, so trying to take after guys like Rap, see what I need to do to take care of my body, get ready to go for Thursday.
There it is. Bills at 2-0, back at it Thursday night at home against Miami. Thanks for being with me today. I'm Mike Shope, and we'll talk then. This is Buffalo Bills football.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.